Awesome. Can I get some water real quick? Thank you. My throat is very parched, and I have not had any water today. Instead, I had orange juice and a milkshake, which is, you know, not very healthy, but... So, as y'all know, I went to camp, and it was amazing. My voice is still trying to come back of screaming and having fun and doing all kinds of things like playing volleyball and playing basketball and literally everything that is insane that right now I feel so tired and sore, but it was fun at the same time. Anyways, so there was a preacher, and his name was Peter, and he was amazing. He was one of those black preachers. He goes, "And the Lord said." Okay, now that is amazing. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but for me, I get excited, and whenever a preacher comes up there, and he's excited, and I'm excited, and I'm already excited, so if he's excited, then I'm even more excited, you know. It's just amazing. Anyways, but before he came, his wife came for the first camp, and she was also the same way, but she was a white lady. And so she acted like a black preacher, but it was really fun at the same time. Every single night was very powerful, and things that people need to hear, more than just teenagers of this, more than just the Gen Z generation. Things about what the world is doing and what our people are doing to God and to themselves and to others. And it was a lot about just seeing the true darkness. And whenever the light shines into the darkness, you will see what is going on. And he really got into it. I'm not going to preach every single sermon he did, because then we'll be here literally all night, but I tried to get different points and different things that stood out to me and put it into a little jumbo. So if I go a little all over the place, bear with me. I'm just trying to like put everything together and make it sound right. But part of it, he was talking about the church in general, not just us, but the whole church in general. And who is the church? What is the church? What do we represent? And of course, the answer is Jesus. Yes, y'all can speak. Y'all got to get me in. I'm kind of tired, and y'all need to make sure I stay awake up here. Of course, the church represents Jesus. But sometimes that doesn't happen, especially when our flesh gets in the way. I'm going to pull up a verse, actually, three verses from John 14, chapters 15 through 17. And y'all can look this up. If you can put this on the screen, that would be great, because I'm going to go through these verses one by one, stepping through each word, basically, and explaining to y'all what this verse means. Most of y'all know this because it's pretty common especially Assemblies of God Church that believe in the Holy Ghost and his works. But it says in John 14, 15 through 17, "If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and now, later, will be in you." I'm going to start with chapter 15, the shorter one. And it says, "If you love me, obey my commands." If you're a Christian, and if you are a man after God's heart or woman after God's heart, you will do this. And when you obey his commands, you are doing the things God wants you to do, which is his will. His will is to bring out the darkness and show people what is wrong and what is not pleasing to his eye. Things that are sin and things that are very open to the spiritual realm, what I'm trying to say here is, like, for instance, whenever you see people in the LGBTQ or people who are an alcoholic, people who are in a drug addiction, that is a spirit of evilness, spirit that obviously does not come from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is from God. God wants to bring those out. He wants to bring them out so that the truth can be shown and say, no, this is not right. What is right is this. Now, I'm going to go into what I kind of called this. His last message of the whole week was chase them. And you're going to understand what I mean whenever I say chase them. For Christianity, especially now in this day, we have put ourselves in a position where we are afraid. And it says God has not put fear inside of us for the wrong reasons, for the good reasons, of course. Fear inside of us to not do the wrong things, but the fear of not being able to step out and claim his name. We have put in ourselves where we try to seem like we're like the world without trying to seem we're like the world. Does that make sense? Okay. We're Christians. We say we're Christians, but our family maybe, or our friends, or our coworkers, or people around us that we see every day don't see it. And why is that? Why don't they see that? Because we're afraid. We're not chasing after them. We're staying in our shell. We're staying in our little group at church that we go every once in a while. Once Sunday, and the situation is different. But I'm saying in general, Christianity, the church, they're doing this and they're not speaking up. They're not stepping out in faith. So the people around you, your friends, your family, everybody, do they see that? Do they see Jesus in you? Do they see a different person, a person that they wonder what is actually inside of you? Because I know personally, I have worked in myself to try and show people the Jesus inside of me. Because there was a time in my life, and even now is difficult, trying to be the cool person. Trying to be a person like, oh, people will like me if I act this way, if I say it this way, if I stand this way, if I walk this way, if I talk this way, then people will like me and I will make a lot of friends, which is pretty usual. You will make a lot of friends if you're that way. But in Christianity, sometimes you have to be the weird person to show Jesus, to show the light, to show the difference, to show the blessings that are inside of you, the Holy Ghost that is inside of you, that is leading you to the truth. And if you are being led to the truth, then you're going to lead people with you, along with you. Because in his will is for people to come to him, being saved from eternity in him, or eternity in hell. Why did I say in him? In hell. So if you are a person after God, it's hard. If you are a true Christian, a person who is constantly going after the faith, going after what God wants and his will, then you will be a person who goes after the people who are dying every day in hell, walking into the fire. See, in the next verse, it says, pull up 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. I'm going to stop right there. Of course, y'all know the advocate is the Holy Spirit. First off, he will never leave you. Some of y'all have experienced the Holy Spirit. Some of y'all haven't. If you have asked God into your life, you immediately have the Spirit in you. But being baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, maybe y'all haven't had that. But you still have the Spirit in you, and he will never leave you. And because he will never leave you, that also means that you always will have the truth with you. And if you have the truth in you and working in you, then you will give that truth to people so that they can be led to Jesus. But that is only possible if you step out. That is only possible if you have faith to say, nope, I don't care. I'm going to put my pride aside. I'm going to put my flesh aside. I'm going to put my own thoughts and my own thinking of who I think I should be and be who God wants me to be and speak the truth. Amen? Okay. Are y'all following along with me right now? Good. Now, in the next part of the verse, it says, the world cannot receive him. Now, at first, whenever I read this, that first part, I was like, well, God, how is that possible? Because you say you have the Holy Spirit for us and we can receive the Holy Spirit. But the next part, it says, because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Why don't they recognize him? Think about it. Do they see it in you? They would recognize it if they see it in you. Then, if they recognize it in you, they will start looking for it. They will start having this hunger and this desire of, oh my goodness, what is this? I want to see what this is. What is in David that makes him so happy and excited to be able to talk to people about Jesus? What is in Leanne that makes her smile every single day, even though she is going through a hard time? What makes my mom get up and tell people about Jesus, even though she's in pain? What is in them? Do you want people to start asking that question to themselves about you? Or do you want to stay that person who thinks, okay, this is how I need to be cool or for people to like me? No, I want people to see me as, oh, I like that person because they're different and there's something in them. In the next part of this verse, it says, but you know him because he lives with you and now, lives with you now and later will be in you. Just like I said, the Holy Spirit is automatically in you, in your spirit, inside of you, once you accept Christ into your life. But do they see it? What do they see? A part of Adam's message today. That sounded weird saying Adam. Sorry. My dad's message today was, I was like, okay. Part of what my dad's message today was a lot about what I was going to be talking tonight. And I was like, okay, God, like, what are some other things that I can like say other than preaching his message a second time? Because part of his message was, what do they see in you? But I mean, come on, what do they see in you? What do you want them to see in you? I ask that question to myself every single day because for a long time, I was so worried about myself. I had pride and I constantly looked at myself and said, how do I become a better me in my own self, not in Jesus? Yes, I did make a lot of friends. Yes, I was liked. But I was empty inside, and they were empty. There was no real connection, no real love, no real discipling like we have here. There was nothing like that. It was more of me, 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 you, you, me, me, our little group, and we're all cool. But if it's constantly about you and it's constantly about them, then there's no purpose. Which is my next thing. Actually, no, it's not. Sorry, I got a little lost in my thing. But if you instead let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you and speak through you, and if you're constantly praying for God to use you, constantly praying, God, please let your Holy Spirit work inside of me. Let me be your vessel. Use me, Jesus. Let your spirit speak through me so that the next person I'm with, whether it's my family, whether if it's my friends, whether if it's a person at Walmart or Kroger, that whenever I speak those words, it won't just be words, but it will be words of life, words that you can use to bring them closer to you, to put that pedal in their shoe, and they can start thinking and start wondering, what is this? Is there more to life than this world that this world has to offer for us? Yes, there is. But you got to show them. You got to show them there's more than to this life. There's more than this world. There's more than what they think. So, if you do this, he leads us into all truth. And it even says that the world cannot receive because it isn't looking for him. And I wanted to say that again because we need to put that, we need to put that in our brain. The world isn't looking for him. The world isn't looking for him, which means they can't receive. So I need to be the person that they recognize it. They see something different. They see the light that is piercing through the darkness. But are you willing? Are you willing to chase after your friends, family, and people around you? Got to ask that question to yourself. Are you willing to take the pride, push it away? To take yourself, push it away? The preacher there, Pastor Peter, he was started to talk to us individually in groups. And he said, you know, one group was, okay, who, there are multiple people in your life. Is it your parents that you need to be chasing after? Is it your other family, cousins, siblings, grandparents? Is it your friends? And I'm like, of course, for me, I'm in the crowd and I'm praying. I'm like, God, there's so many people in my life that I know that are not right with you. And the exact words he said was, you are watching them walk into hell and you're doing nothing. God has put you in their life, whether they're your family or your friends or your coworkers. He's put you in their life for a reason and for a purpose, and you're watching them walk to hell, not standing up in faith and not saying a word and not being the Christian that you have called to be. He had a story for us that really touched me and probably everybody in the room. He had a best friend all through school. Amazing guy, really fun, energetic, a lot like Sean, very crazy and outgoing. And Peter, it was the same way, Pastor Peter. And they were best buds. And he overdosed on drugs when in his early 20s. Now, part of Peter's story was he was a Christian ever since he was young. He gave his life to the Lord whenever he was young. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost whenever he was 16. His life was a mess. A mess. And whenever I say a mess is that it wasn't him, it was his family. His house was broken. The first message that he spoke in the week was God's promises take priority over genetics. So I'm going to go through this real quick before I go to the next point. People, probably everybody in this room, has someone in their family, whether it's their mother, their father, their grandmother, their grandfather from either side, or even down the line, the genetics inside of them pass down. A lot of times people speak into their lives or things happen in their lives and the genetics have been cursed by the evil one. The evil one has come into their family, the family line, whatever that is, last name, whatever. Like, let's say for my family, it would be Levins. His family was Genix. I think that's his last name. It was a really interesting last name with an X at the end, Genix. And he was telling us, he said, his father was an alcoholic. He abused his family. He was absent from the family. He was a drug dealer. And he went down the line and he was like, he's this, he's this, he's this. He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. His father did this, the exact same thing. His grandfather did this, and it went down the line. And then for Peter, he said, and me, I stopped it. I told God, no, these men in my life is not who I'm going to be. I'm going to be God, whoever God wants me to be. Sorry, I said that wrong. Whoever God wants me to be and do his will and completely stop it. He said, you need to be the one who stands in the gap of your family and change that. And now he's a father. His father was never to him, to his children. And he's praying over them that the genetics will not be in them, but that they will have a different perspective in life and that they will go after God's will and that they will praise him and that they will stand on God's promises every single day. Instead of genetics. He also was preaching how the genetics in us, the things that we have in our life, let's say anxiety. He said, they use that as an excuse, as a crutch. Oh, I have anxiety, so I can't talk to people about Jesus. I get stressed out so easily, and I start to shake and get nervous whenever I talk to people about Jesus. I'm so claustrophobic, so I can't be around big crowds or a church. And then he started going down the list. He goes, okay, you are so nervous to talk about Jesus, right? You have so much anxiety, but you're over here able to walk up to anybody and make friends and be the cool person. You're able to go to that concert where there were so many people at a secular concert, but you're claustrophobic. All kinds of different things. That was just a few things that he talked about. Your genetics don't identify you. The Lord does. Whenever you give your life to him, he's your identification. He's the person that people should be seeing through you. Chase after them. So then he went on to say, start calling out people. If you have a mother or a father or both who are not following the Lord, who are going down the wrong path, who are walking into hell, I want y'all to come down here. I want y'all to pray. Then he goes to the next. If you have cousins or if you have grandparents or other part of your family, same thing. Come down here. If you have friends, come down here. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, I don't know who this is, but, and this is designed to a lot of us, I feel like, even myself. He said, you have a friend, maybe more than just one friend, you know is going down the wrong path, who is walking into hell, but you do not communicate with them. You can separate from them because they are wrong. They're going down the wrong path. But the Lord says, you're there for a reason. You're the only Jesus they're seeing, and you need to step in. Then he said, or you have that one friend, not friend, you have that one person you told God, I will never be friends with. I will never get in their crowd. I will never blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, that's the person I want you to talk to because they're the one who's hurting. Who is that person in your life? It could be multiple friends, family, or the person you will never want to talk to or never want to be associated with. Who is it? Think of it. Think of their names. Now, imagine them walking into hell. Do you care? Or do you care too much about your pride and your self-worth and who you are? Because this world isn't our home. This world, we're just here temporary. And the people who go to heaven, those are the people that is your family. Do you want to go to heaven and God say, why? Why didn't you talk to them? Why didn't you chase after them? Why didn't you do what I called you to do as a Christian? They're not standing right next to you here because you didn't do what I told you to do. You weren't willing to step out in faith. You were so much in yourself, in this world, and what you think is cool or the best. No. What I want to be told whenever I go to heaven, I want Jesus to look at me and say, look at all the people that has followed you into heaven with you. I know, and I can, y'all could probably feel the same way if Jesus told you this. And him saying, I know it hurts. I know they hurt you. I know it was difficult I know it was uncomfortable and you felt uneasy, like they were never going to talk to you again, or you were going to become the weird person. Or you can go down the line of how you would feel or, you know, would think in your mind whenever this happens. But if in the end, if that means that you go into heaven and you get to see Jesus smile at you and say, "Good, well done, faithful servant," and look at all the people who has followed you with, you know, into heaven. So what do people see? I'm going back to that. What do people see? Do they see a person who is after God, who is chasing after him, who is wanting to do his will and have faith in him? Or do they see a person who is all about themselves and wants to do the best for themselves? YOLO. You only live once. Actually, you live twice if you go into eternity with God. And that's amazing. But as I was saying, what do they see? Now, I wanted to go back to this real quick before I end, because I think that's the everything that I had put into here. Oh, no, there was one more thing, too. Sorry. He was talking about the Holy Spirit the second night and was calling down people if they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time or have a refreshing or just that kind of thing. And of course, you know, I went up there, I'm praying for people to be filled with the Spirit and be touched by the Holy Ghost and just be completely transformed, and so that they can have this gift that God has given all of us freely. And one thing I love of what he said, which even my dad says, it's not about speaking in tongues. But another thing he said, so he goes, it's not about speaking in tongues. I don't care about speaking in tongues. That does not matter if you speak in tongues. Well, yes, it does matter if you want the evidence, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be filled with the Spirit and then be used by the Spirit. But if you get filled by the Spirit and you speak in tongues and you have this great, amazing moment and experience with God, and you're like, "Oh God, thank you so much for giving me this. Thank you so much for blessing me and filling me with your presence and with this gift that you have freely given me." That's great. But what are you gonna do afterwards? Are you gonna use that Spirit? Are you gonna use what is inside of you? Because I do. And it really opened up the way I see the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us so that we can be his vessels, so that we can be used. Because if you go up to a person and you don't know what to say, and you're like, "I know God wants me to talk to you, but what do I say?" That's whenever the Holy Spirit steps inside and speaks through you. Because in the end of this, it goes, "And later will be in you. And there's a reason why it's in you, is so that you can be used, because you are his vessel. Now, I'm going to go into another thing real quick, talking about being used and being God's vessel. There was a young guy, and he was part of my team. His name was Jonathan. And he was praying over this young boy that same night. And he was like, "God, just, you know, move in his life." He had no idea what was wrong with this young boy. He was just sitting there. And I'm going to explain what they told me, because I wasn't there, okay? But they told me, and I, from what I heard from over there, because I was in the middle of nowhere over here, and from what they told me, this is everything that happened. So the kid is right here. He's 13. He's a young boy, and he's little. And he's like this, and he's like rocking back and forth like this, which is very unusual and odd. Usually if you're at the front in the altar, you're like worshiping and you're praying and you're raising your hands and you're, you know, engaging and like praying for God to do whatever in your life, receive the Holy Spirit, whatever. But he's over here wide-eyed, and he's just like going back and forth, going back and forth, going back and forth. And then the next moment he starts to bawl, and he's like, he's crying and he's crying and he's crying. And Jonathan, he felt like this uneasiness in his spirit. And he was like, "Oh God, what is going on? Like, what is this uneasiness in my spirit? Like I feel," I forgot what word he used, but it was a certain word he used, like gross almost. He was just like, oh, what is this feeling? And so he saw the young boy and he felt he should pray for him. So he's praying for the young boy and he's crying and he's crying and he's crying. And the next moment, the boy lays out on the floor and starts to vividly shake violently. Shaking, 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 shaking. And another girl, her name was Mariah, and she was part of my team. And she said that she was nervous that he was hurting himself on the hard floor because he was just all over the place shaking. And it wasn't like the Holy Spirit shaking. It was like shaking. And then the next moment, they heard screams. But not just regular screams, demonic screams. And these screams were screaming and then saying things like very terrible things as if the spirit was talking to the boy. And then Jonathan, he was praying and he knew what was happening. And he told us later that week that he felt like God prepared him for that moment because a week before camp, a guy who was his friend was watching these videos of this preacher talking about the spirit realm and how demons can be cast out from people through us, Holy Spirit working through us. Not saying go find some demons and casting them out. Don't do that. Unless God brings it to you and God puts you in that situation, then yes, like do it, have faith and pray and, you know, do that. But he was watching, his friend was like, yeah, this can happen. And Jonathan was like, what? I didn't know this was even a thing. I didn't know you could cast out demons. I didn't know this is something that was possible for us to do using us. So he went home and he watched like 7 videos and it was like a whole bunch of stuff that he learned. And he was writing notes and he was going in the word. He was going through the word and looking at different scriptures and different things. And then that week, he was put in a situation where a demon needed to be cast out of a young boy. So he started to pray and speak in tongues, and he was praying and praying and praying and praying. And then the next moment, the boy completely stopped shaking and then almost looked like he died. Like he just went like this. Like he was like, oh. Like something just completely, like he was relieved. And it was amazing. Now for me, I was on the other side and I heard a couple of screams, but I didn't know it was like that. I was like, but nobody else heard it. What was crazy is only her, Jonathan, and then I heard it. I was like, what was that? Nobody else was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? It was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Like for me and them, we're like, what's going on? Then the next moment, about 20 minutes later, Jonathan's praying. He's like, God, thank you for using me. Thank you for using me as your vessel, God. I just pray that you will cleanse us and that you will anoint us, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke any evil spirit in this room right now. If there's any other evil spirits, in the name of Jesus, they need to leave because you're the only one who is welcome in this place. Holy Ghost, welcome. You are welcome in this place. Cleanse us, renew us, refill us, refresh us. And he's praying and he's praying. And then he stops praying and he comes over and he's with us, he's standing right next to me. And then Pastor Ben told the worship team to stop their music. I was like, okay, what's going on? And Pastor Ben was standing there and he was praying. And he was just like, just let the Holy Spirit speak to y'all guys. And we were standing there and I was praying. I'm like, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do, God? Show us. And then someone started speaking tongues loud. And what was it? It's a prophetic tongues of interpretation. And then Jonathan, again, was used by the Holy Spirit, interpreted. And the interpretation was, God is anointing this place right now. He is refilling and refreshing us right now. Don't take for granted for what is happening now in this place. Use it daily. He said more. I can't remember everything, but that was the main thing. And he started to weep because the presence of God was so strong. And for me, I'm standing right next to him. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is insane. And the only thing I can describe about what I was feeling, you know how honey is like thick? And if you've ever put your hand in honey, I've never done this, but I have already imagined how it feels if you put your hand in honey. It's thick, right? You would think that that's how the spirit felt in there. Like if I put my hand like this, I could just feel the spirit all around me. I'm like, I can't explain the feeling I had, but it was amazing. It was so, it felt unrealistic, you know? But that's the thing. Things that God has for us, things that the Spirit has for us, is not of this world. It's something that people don't understand if they've never experienced it. And I probably sound crazy. People probably think I sound crazy talking like this. But I don't care because I experienced it. And I know it was God because I had a peace over me, like a blanket over me. And I felt His presence so strong and thick in the place. And, I mean, a demon was completely cast out of this young boy who was only 13. Tongues of interpretation happened, and it was the exact same thing that Jonathan was praying for. And God clarified that He was anointing us, and He was refreshing us, and He was filling us with His Spirit, and not to take it for granted. So if you have the Spirit inside of you, if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, if you have been filled with the Spirit, use it. Don't take it for granted. Let you be used by God. Let God use you as His vessel every day, not just at camp, not just at a conference, not just in special moments at church, but every single day with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers. I don't care if you seem crazy. I don't care if they probably think you're weird. People think I'm weird, okay? Already. Even before being crazy for God and everything, I've always been weird, but that's the point. You gotta be different, and you gotta keep on chasing after them, because if you don't, then God is gonna look at you and say, why didn't you at least try? I put you there for a reason, for a purpose. Why? Why didn't you chase them? Why didn't you take the step? And the reason why I'm talking like this is because it even touched me, and it made me realize something even more, like, ding, Chloe. Even though I'm constantly trying to be better and trying to do what God wants me to do, there's moments in my life where I'm just like, I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I don't feel like talking to this person and having to explain things and try and not make them mad or whatever goes through your mind. And that's okay because we're flesh. We're humans. Jesus understands because He was down here and He lived among us. But because He understands the way we feel, that's the reason why He's given us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to guide us and comfort us and show us the way, guiding us, leading us to the truth so we can do that for other people. So I think that's everything that I have to say. There was just so much. I can't even say everything. That was just like the points that I saw this last week that stood out to me personally. And I feel like have stood out to y'all too, and y'all grasped it. But what Pastor Peter did, I'm going to do here as well. If you have a person in your life, family, friend, coworker, anyone, literally, I want y'all to think of that person's name. It could be multiple, because I have multiple. Or it could be just one. But I want y'all to say their name out loud. And I want you to claim in the name of Jesus that He is going to use you as His vessel to speak to them, to guide them to the truth and what is right. For me, also, it was kind of hard because there's so many people where I'm like, God, I've done everything, okay? I've gone through the mud to try and be your servant and do this and do your will and talk to these people and try and help them. And I was almost making excuses for some of these people that are in my mind that I know need Jesus and that are in my life. And I heard Him say, don't stop. Peter's dad, it took him 20 years right before he died. 20 years, and that was his dad. Peter did not want to bring him to Christ whenever it was time, because he led him to Christ whenever he was ready to give his life to the Lord. He didn't want to at first. He's like, no, he's hurt me. He's hurt my family. He's spat at me. He's done too many wrong things to me. Why should it be me? Go get another pastor. But God reminded him, you prayed for him. You didn't stop. You kept on being that light. And I'm giving you the opportunity. So don't stop, because soon he is going to give you that opportunity. He's going to put you in that situation where it's like, oh God, it's finally happening. They're finally coming back to you. They're finally giving their life to you. And they're finally seeing what is true. They're seeing the light out of the darkness. So think of that person, whoever it is, and I want you to start praying for them. If you have a heavenly language, I want you to speak in the heavenly language, because tongues is used as a prayer to the Lord, a prayer of His will. So if there's things we don't know what to say, we start to speak in tongues that the Holy Spirit gives us so we can pray His will. But I also want y'all to just pray in general. Intercede. Just as Jesus intercedes for us, I want you to intercede for that person or whoever it is. Start interceding for them and praying for them, asking God to use you, asking God to use other people as well, asking God to give you strength to keep on chasing after them. Ask God for the Holy Spirit to come into you if you have not received the Holy Spirit, so that He can comfort you and strengthen you through every situation, every single step that you have with whoever that person is. Just keep on praying.